Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Nun. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur continues from 10 lines from the top of Daf Nun. The first point of discussion will concern a mucousy, viscous substance that's found in the intestines and its ability to form a seal on a hole, to be a sealant. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source that you can see in a frame. There is also an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which will be of use to us later on. So the source says, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, B'nei me'ayim shenikvu, the intestines that developed a hole, v'lecha sois mason, and this mucousy substance seals it, kshera. It is kosher. In other words, it's not considered a nekev in the B'nai Ma'ayim because of the sealant. My lecha, what is the lecha that is under discussion? Which lecha, which substance is this? Oma Rav Kahana, shirka d'me'ayo d'nafik agav duchaka. The Gemara terms it shirka d'me'ayo. It's the term used to refer to this mucousy substance that can come out if you apply pressure, if you squeeze on the if you're holding the intestines, you apply pressure, so this substance will ooze out. It's a rather thick, semi-liquid substance that can serve as a sealant. Rashi, in explaining shirka de me'aya, he uses a French word, and the translation of that involves, as we mentioned, a semi-liquid, viscous substance. Gemiri Chavraya de Rabbi Abba, may Rabbi Abba. There is a tradition that the friends of Rabbi Abba have from Rabbi Abba. Umanu, who is this friend or colleague of Rabbi Abba? Rabbi Zera. It happens to be Rabbi Zera. The Amri Law, another version of this, is Chavraya de Rabbi Zera, may Rabbi Zera, the colleague of Rabbi Zera, has a tradition from Rabbi Zera. Umanu, who is this colleague? Rabbi Abba, Brei de Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba. Hochi Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan mentions two points that figure into this tradition. One, Halacha Kribshim Ramliel Betrefa, and two, Halacha Kribshimon Be'evel. We should point out that we have a topic heading that accompanies this Gemara. Essentially, we just read the nature of this heading in the text, but we include in our marked Gemaras the Shas Ozer, which is the cornerstone of Gemara markings, topic headings and structural notes when appropriate in the outside margin. Here we have, under our Nosei, Shnei Halachos Sheposkin Ke Rabbi Shimon. The first is really Reb Shimon Gamliel, and the second is Rabbi Shimon. Number one, we follow him, Betrefa. This is as far as Lecha Sosem. And number two, Be'evel, this concerns a case of Bo Mimokom Korov, Afilu Biyom Zayin Nohegi Mohem. The Gemara will discuss very shortly an issue of mourning, Avelus, where one of the family members that's obligated to observe the mourning period wasn't with the rest of the family when the mourning period, when the Avelus started. However, he was within a day's journey. So we will see a machlokis concerning what his halach is, that if he comes to join the family who is observing the Shiva, and he comes from a nearby location, how is he to count his observance of the mourning? So as we continue in the Gemara, we go over these two points. The first was that halacha is like Rav Shmuel Amliel betreifa. So the Gemara says, halacha Rav Shmuel Amliel betreifa, ha de amoran. We just said that. That's with regard to the source we saw above. And you'll notice the arrow that we now have again in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This helps you see what that was a reference to. Rav Shmuel Amliel's comment regarding the mucousy substance as a sealant in the intestines. The second concerns Karebi Shimon Be'evel. Before continuing in the Gemara, we have a structural phenomenon that we'd like to point out. You see brackets. This bracketed section is marked off thusly, and there's also a length indicator. You can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a vertical dashed dotted line indicating the length of the bracketed section, and we have a note on the inside margin reading as follows: Sograyim elu enom l'shem dilug. These brackets are not for skipping, elo l'tachem haketa she'oseg bavelus, but rather to show the boundaries of the piece of Gemara that deals with the topic of mourning. So, we, having said that, we continue reading the Gemara straight through. We mentioned that Rabbi Yochanan reported the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon with regard to mourning. My he, what is that? What is the case of mourning in question? Disnan. There's a Tanaic source that you can see is in a frame, as we mark all Tanaic sources in frames to set them off from the rest of the Gemara text. The source says, Kol shloisha yomim horishonim, during the first 3 days of mourning. As we mentioned before, we're talking about a case where one of the family members is coming from another location. In other words, he did not hear of the actual passing and burial of his close relative, one over whom he should observe mourning. And he comes during the first 3 days and notices the family is in mourning. So the halacha is like this. If he comes from within a day's journey, in other words, it's a distance that would have enabled him to have heard about what took place, even if he didn't hear actually about the passing, but he could have heard about it because he's within the vicinity. So if he comes from a mokom korov, he counts. He picks up the counting, the observance of the 7-day mourning period with them, so that if he finds them during their third day, so he starts his counting of the 7 days with them. In other words, he will not observe a full 7 days because he picks up with them. So they'll finish off the third day, then there's the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh days, 4 complete days that remain for him. However, mimokom rochik moini la'atzmo, if he comes from a distant location, then he starts his own counting. Mikan ve'elech afilu bo mimokom korov moini la'atzmo, beyond the first 3 days, according to the first opinion, he starts his own counting. He doesn't join up with where they are holding. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now, Rabbi Shimon, you'll see, has a different approach. He says, "Afilu biyom hashvi, even if he comes on the last day of the 7-day mourning period, bo mimokom korov monei moyim. If he comes from within a day's journey, he counts with them. So he'll just observe another couple hours of avelus, being that it's the last day, and that's it." So regarding this issue of Avelus, it was reported above in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that we will follow Reb Shimon's opinion. It's also noteworthy that it's a lenient opinion. Omar Mandehu, the expression Mandehu means somebody. The Rashi points out that the editors of the Gemara, in attempting to recount who his name was, were unable to recount. So it's reported as somebody. Omar Mandehu, Izki ve'esak ve'agmor l'shmaitzo Nipume Demora. Izki means I should merit going, and that's Ve'esak, to go up, Ve'agmara L'shmaitza, and to learn this sugya, learn this teaching from the source, Nipume Demora, from the source. He solik, so when he went up, he went to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechei the Rabbi Abba, Brei the Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba, he met up with this individual. And this name was mentioned before. You can see we've dashed, underlined his name above as well, so as to enable you to align who we are talking about. He's the one that reported that the halacha would be like Rabbi Shimon Be'evel, and like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Betreifa. So Omar Lay, so this anonymous individual asked Rabbi Abba, he asked him, Omar Mar Halocha Kripshim Gamliel Betreifa, did you say that the halacha is like Kripshim Gamliel regarding Treifa, namely that the mucousy substance can serve as a sealant for a hole in the intestines? Omar Lay, Ha Ein Halocha Amri, you got it like all wrong. I said the halacha is not like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel regarding the issue of treifa. Second question, Rabbi Shimon be'evel mai, and regarding Rabbi Shimon by Avelus, what is the story? Omale, so I'll tell you, Rabbi Abba says, plukto ninhu, there is a controversy regarding following Reb Shimon regarding evel. Ditmar, it was taught, Rav Chisda Amar Halacha, V'chein Rav Yochanan Halacha, they said Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, Rav Nachman Amar Ein Halacha, and Rav Nachman said, we are not going to follow Rabbi Shimon. The Ein Halacha of Shimon Betreifa, Halacha of Shimon Liel Be'evel. The Gemara says that the Halacha shall not follow Shimon Liel with regard to Treifa, but the Halacha will follow Rabbi Shimon with regard to the mourning. The Omar Shmuel, Halacha Divrei HaMeikel Be'evel, Shmuel teaches a principle that when it comes to a controversy surrounding laws of mourning, we follow the lenient opinion. And as we saw above, Rabbi Shimon represented the lenient opinion. At this point, the Gemara goes back to a treifos sugyev. And we have a Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin. Makifin is the word that is featured in our triangle that you can see in the Gemara. You'll see a series of triangles. Makifin literally means to put one thing next to another. But for our purposes, it has to do with comparing. By putting two things next to each other, we're able to compare them. Makifin, Nekev be'evorim shonim. We'll speak about holes in different organs. Boitkin bohem im notzar lifnei o acharei shchita. We will check whether the holes were formed either before or after shchita. Ayidei asias nekev achshav, through the making of a hole right now, umashvim imdomim, and then compare whether they are similar. So, it's to restate that, if you have an organ, in this case in our Gemara, as we scan ahead, you see squiggle underlines that follow the triangles, you can see that we'll be discussing bimnei me'ayim, rea, and kone, the intestines, the lung, and the trachea. In these organs, the issue of a hole becomes an issue of treifus. The whole issue is the hole something that formed while the animal was alive, thereby making it into a treifa, or is it something that developed after the animal was slaughtered? So, how can we check that out? By making a similar hole in that very organ, and then comparing if they resemble. So the hole that I made just now is clearly after it's been shechted. So if the questionable hole resembles the hole I just made, then we're in the clear. Then it's good because it's a hole of after shechita. If they do not resemble each other, so I would then conclude that, well, the hole I just made is clearly after Shechita, but the other one doesn't look like it, so it must have been there from before the Shechita, and thereby making the animal a treifa. So now, let's read the Gemara. Omar Rav Simi Bar Chiya, Makifin Bivnei Me'ayim. And as we mentioned, this has to do with comparing holes in the intestines. Comparing the holes by making a new hole now and comparing it with the questionable hole. Hano Bnei Me'ayim Da'osu L'kamei D'Rava. There was an example of intestines that came to the attention of Rava. Akfinu V'lo Idmu. He did this comparison by making a current hole, and it didn't compare to the questionable hole, and it would appear that we should that it should be ruled forbidden as a trefa. Also, Rav Mesharshia Brei, the son of Rava, Rav Mesharshia came along, Mishmesh Behu, he handled, manipulated, maneuvered, he felt around the intestines. In other words, he handled the area where Rava just made the hole, where this new hole was made, and after handling it, the idmu, this new hole, then resembled the original hole. Omar le minala ha. So Rava asks his son, where did you learn this from? How did you come to this conclusion that in order to establish a reliable test, you've got to handle it also. Omar Le, so Rav Mesharshia answers, Kamo yodi mimashmashu bahani mekami delesi lekami demor. Just think about it. How many hands handled these intestines before they came to you? So, to go over this point, there was a questionable hole. The questionable hole was part of these intestines that had been handled for quite a while. So if you want to run a comparison between holes, then you have to keep all of the factors the same. So if you're going to make a new hole, it also has to be subjected to a significant amount of handling before you can say the two holes, before one can compare the two holes. If the questionable hole went through a lot of handling, I'll make a new hole and also subject it to handling, and now compare them. And if they're similar, so then I can conclude that the questionable hole is just like this hole that I made now, namely a post-shechita hole. Amale, Rava, upon hearing this, he says, Chochim bri betrefus kereb Yochanan. My son, you are wise in the area of trefus, like the great sage Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was known to be an expert in the realm of trefus. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar de Amri Travayu, they both say makifin bereya, that when it comes to a questionable hole in the lung, we also do this comparison. Omar Rava lo amoron ela ba'oisa aruga. The term aruga is a reference to the side of the lung with all of its lobes. In other words, we have a right-hand side and a left-hand side. So if you want to compare, he says you can compare only if you do a comparison along the same side. Avo me aruga la aruga loy. But to run a comparison of holes between the right-hand side and the left-hand side, that would not be acceptable. The Hilchasa, however, the Gemara rules otherwise and says, "Afilu me aruga laruga." You are entitled to compare a hole that was a questionable hole on the right side with a newly made hole on the left hand side. Midaka ledaka, umigasa legasa. These terms are featured in Rashi with two explanations. The explanation we will adopt has to do with the different size lobes. There are unos and umos. The lungs have small lobes and large lobes. So daka, the daka is a reference to a comparison between two small lobes. In other words, what we want to do is maintain some type of similarity in the regions that we are comparing. And gasa, the gasa would be holes in the large lobes. In other words, we have a questionable lobe, questionable hole that appears in a large lobe, and I make a new hole in the other large lobe and then attempt to compare them. Avol, the Gemara goes on, lo migasa ladaka velo midaka lagasa. But to compare gasa to daka, large lobe with small lobe, or vice versa, that no. Abaye v'rova dami chervayu. They say makifin bekona, that we can run a comparison with regard to a hole found in the trachea. Omar of Papa, this too is qualified. Lo amoran ella ba'oisa chulia, avo me chulia lechulia loi. When dealing with the trachea, the term chulia represents a series of three rings, because the kana itself, the trachea, as we've described in previous sugyas, is an accordion type shaped or formed tube. There might be a more accurate term for this kind of tubing, but it's a tubing that, when on the outside, looks like it's made of a series of discs. In fact, it's one tube, but it has this accordion look to it. So Rav Papa is qualifying Rava's halacha is that if you want to run a comparison, it must be within the group of three rings, three chulios, three rings forming a chulia. A chulia is a series of three rings, but not from one to another. V'ilchasa, the Gemara rules, afilu me chulia lechulia, even from one group of three rings to another group of three rings, one is able to make this comparison. Umi bar chulia le bar chulia. Bar means outside. The Rashi explains, and once again, we should remind everybody that they should have a book of illustrations. We have been recommending along the way acquiring the book Sichas Chulin, illustrated and authored by Amitai Ben David. The illustrations help to make all of these sugyas, especially in the third perek that we're learning right now, much, much more understandable. So the trachea itself is a tube, naturally is basically round in shape. Basically, of course, it's not exactly round, but this organ, the trachea, is made of a cartilaginous substance. It's thicker on the, we'll say, on the underside of it, but toward the back of the trachea, it thins, the cartilage thins out, and eventually it is the back part of it is a strip of we'll call it much thinner meat-like material. Therefore, since the within the circumference of the trachea itself, there is a differing, we won't say differing substance, but a differing quality of the substance. One, and in line with what we've been speaking about till now, when wanting to make comparisons, we have to make comparisons in as much of a similar situation as possible. And in this case, regarding the trachea, we cannot run a comparison from the underside of the chulia of the trachea, which is we'll call the chulia, to the other side of it, the other part of the circumference, which is referred to as bar chulia. And that's what we just read. Reading that last phrase again, avolo mi chulia le bar chulia, velo mi bar chulia le chulia. Omar Ze'iri, we have a new topic here. This concerns the Chalcholes. Then we've assigned a topic heading to this Gemara in the outside margin, Chalcholes Shenikva. The Chalcholes is very likely can be translated as the rectum, but it's, as far as description is concerned, it's the very end of the digestive tract, right before the solid waste exits the body. So that's called chalcholes. Now, if the chalcholes develops a hole in it, Ziri tells us, chalcholes shenikva kshera, hoyol v'yirei chayim ma'midois oisa. The part of the anatomy that this chacholis is found in is found in a part that you have the pelvic bones are basically keeping it in place, so they seal it and hold it into place. Therefore, there is no fear that bodily waste will slip out, so to speak, and get into and infect the animal system, thereby posing a danger. So the Gemara goes on qualifying or describing this situation. The kama, how much? The question of how much will become clearer as we go on. Amar Reb Eloi, Amar Reb Yochanan, Mokom Hadevek Berubo. If we look in the Rashi, three lines from the bottom, Mokom Hadevek Shi Devuka Birechayim, the point at which the Chalcholes is connected to or is cleaving to the pelvic area, then the amount that's referred to is berubo. And Rashi explains as follows. Berubo, afilu nikdar venital doifno elyoin otachtoin. Even if the chalcholis has been... Nikdar is a word indicating a hole made in it. And as a result of the hole made in it, the wall of this organ has been eliminated, whether it be the upper wall or the lower wall, ad rubo, up till the majority. In other words, you could have half of this organ have been ripped away or eroded, and it's still going to be kosher. So you have up till the majority, ksheira, Rashi says, she'ein derech harei hayotze derech hanekev lachzor lachora velipo l'toch halal haguf. This is what we described before, that as a result of it being so tightly positioned within that pelvic area, the rei is the solid waste will not go out of the hole that was that as a result of the eroded walls of the chacholis. It won't exit the digestive tract and fall back into the animal's interior. Because of the tight location, you have hashedra milamalo, you've got the spine from above, and there's a French word hankis mikanu mikan, and you have the pelvic bones on either side, ulamato hein mechuborim bechaschus, and there seems to be chaschus is usually understood as cartilage. There seems to be some type of cartilage connection from below, so that it's very well contained, and therefore if even half of the chalcholis wall has been eroded in this area of the animal, there is no trephus. It won't cause trephus. The Gemara goes on, though, shelo b'mokom hadevek, if the chalcholis has a hole in it, but not in this tight-fitting section of it, then you've got a real problem. Then b'mashu, even a small hole, a mashu-sized hole, will create trephus. Amrua Rabbonon Kamei de Rava Mishmei de Rav Nachman. This teaching that we just learned was said to Rava, and it was said over by the Rabbonon, quoting Rav Nachman. Omar, Rava, upon hearing this halacha quoted in the name of Rav Nachman, is very disturbed, and he says, Lav amino lehu, did I not tell you, lo titlu bei buki sriki, do not hang empty bottles on Rav Nachman. In other words, empty bottles is just a colorful expression referring to empty words. Rather, Hochi Omer Rav Nachman, we're at the top of Omid Beis, rather, thusly says Rav Nachman, and we'll see him to be actually more lenient than was presented, Mokom HaDevek Afilu Nital Kulo Kosher. With regard to the area of connection, where we said the tight-fitting area of the chalcholis toward the back of the animal, at that point, even if practically the whole thing has been eroded, it's still kosher. Provided an amount called kedei tfisa remains. V'kamo, what does kedei tfisa mean? Omar Abaye, kimlo batido betura. Tura is an ox. It would mean that as long as there is a finger's width of chalcholis that remains at that location, a finger's width of length of chalcholis that remains, even though the rest has been eroded, but it's in that location called Mokom Hadevek, then it's still kosher. The Gemara now turns to a new organ, also something referred to in the beginning, in the first Mishnah, Hakeres Apnimi, and the Mishnah mentioned Hakeres Apnimi Shenikva. The majority of this Omid will be dedicated to defining what the Keres Hapnimi is. What area of the animal does that cover? Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav. The following section appears in a frame, and that's because of the note on the inside margin indicating that this is a Tosefta, a quote from the Brises that constitutes Tanaic literature, and hence we've used a frame around it. Even though, as far as the Gemara itself, you don't have the standard introductory terms that introduce a Tanaic source. Rather, you have Rav Yehuda Amar Rav presenting it as follows. Hayid Noson Bar Shilo. Hayid is a word indicating testimony, testified, as he reported a tradition. Who reported? Noson Bar Shilo Reish Tabchaya Ditzipori Lifnei Rebbe Mishum Rebbe Noson. This gentleman, Noson Bar Shilo, was the head of the slaughterers in the city of Tzipori, and he reported in front of Rebbe in the name of Rav Noson. So this Noson Bar Shilo is saying over halacha in the name of Rav Noson. Ezo hi keres hapnimi. What is keres hapnimi? What is that referring to? Now, we've used a marking system, the double underlines and numberings. The use of these numberings will be of value later when we want to make references back to points mentioned earlier, so we'll be able to refer to them by numbers. The double underlinings are different pshatim regarding what is keres hapnimi. So the first is Sanyo Divi. V'chenomar v'Yoshua ben Korcha, Sanyo Divi. Rashi, in explaining this, introduces it with a French word. This would best be appreciated by opening up a book of illustrations. Rashi goes on with the additional explanation, but it's described. The literal translation of Sanyo Divi, Sanyo means hated, Divi are wolves. It's something that even the wolves are carnivorous creatures. They'll devour an animal, but this part of it they won't eat. It's something that's disgusting even to the wolves. It's certainly a part of the digestive tract, and as far as we are concerned, we'll simply refer to it as Sanyo Divi, as the first in a series of pshatim regarding keres hapnimi. And it's also pointed out that v'cheinom Rabbi Shua ben Korcha sanya divi, he agrees with this pshat in what keres hapnimi is. Rabbi Shmuel Omar is stumka de karsa. A second pshat in what keres hapnimi is this expression. And Rashi also, in explaining this, he says, he uses the same word istumka, almost sounds like the English word stomach, and there could very well be a relationship as far as etymology is concerned. So we will just bear with the Gemara and say that istumka de karsa is another pshat in what keres hapnimi is. Rav Asi Omer Rav Yochanan, Mokom Tsar Yesh Bekeres V'eini Yodea Mahu. Keres hapnimi he describes as a narrowing part in the stomach, and I don't know, he says, I don't know what it is. I don't know how much of it, where it is. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Nafal Karso Bebira. Literally translated is the stomach fell into the pit. Meaning that, well, if you're telling me that it's a Mokum Tsar and you don't know where it is, you haven't helped us out at all. Omar Rav Acho Bar Rav Avo, Omar Rav Asi, Rav Acho says, I will explain what it is. Min Hametzar Ulemata. Let us look at Rashi to appreciate this. Min Hametzar Ulemata. We'll be talking about an animal that is hanging, suspended from its hind legs, namely the head is facing downwards. So Rashi says, Min Hametzar Ulemata, Mimokom Shakeres Holech Umetzar Litzad Haveshet. From the point of the keres, which is one of the stomachs of the animal, the cow is, has in it a series of stomachs. So the stomach that's called keres is an organ that has a certain amount of width to it, and it tapers to a narrow end. So it's explained here, it's from where it tapers and narrows in the direction of the esophagus. That's called the keres hapnimi, and the reason it's called pnimi, innard, is because it's located or surrounded by the ribs at that point. It's, we'll say, that much forward on the animal's anatomy that there are still ribs over there. Continuing in the Gemara. Amri b'marova. Oh, we have to read back before that. Backing up, Rabbi Yankov Bar Nachmeni Omar Shmuel. This is in our numbering. We're calling this number 4. Mokom she'ein bo milas. The keres hapnimi is a part of the keres that is smooth. Milas is a wool-like substance, probably fibrous substance, which can be scraped out in under hot water. So the keres hapnimi is a place that you don't have this fibrous substance. Rabbi Avino Omar Geniva Mishmei de Rav. Rabbi Avino quoting Geniva, who quotes Rav, presenting a fifth pshat, tefach beveshet somuch lekeres, zuhi keres hapnimi. The last handbreadth of esophagus that leads into the keres, that is called keres hapnimi. Amri b'marovo mishmei d'Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, kol hakeres kulo zuhi keres hapnimi. This is a sixth pshat. And he says that the entire keres is called keres hapnimi. In other words, he calls keres hapnimi is the organ, the inner internal organ of the keres is called keres hapnimi. The ezu keres achitzon. If that's the inner one, you've basically included the entire organ. So what's called chitzon? What's the outer one? So the Gemara answers, bosar hachoyfe es rov hakeres. It's not a reference to the organ, but rather the meat or the flesh of the animal that covers a majority of the keres. That is called keres achitzon. Rabo bar Ravhuna Omar. We're now up to our seventh pshat. Mafrato. Mafrato. My mafrato, what is that? Omer of Avio, hecho de pari tabchi. Pari is to expose.
what is described here is that when an animal, after the animal has been slaughtered, it's then suspended, and a slit is made in its belly. The slit is this pari, this opening, this exposing tapri, where the butchers expose the innards by making a slit in its belly. Now, the first part of the keres that comes out as soon as they open up the belly to this opening is, of course, in anticipation of taking out all of the innards. The first part to come out as soon as they open up the animal, that is the keres hapnimi. Rashi explains, mafrato, tzad hakeres, the side of the keres organ, haroya es hakarka, hanira miyad, kishepoislin habehema. It's that part of the animal that, let's say, sees the floor as soon as you open it up. The hotzei me'ayim. Turning to the Gemara. Benahar Da'ah, Nardah was the name of a famous Talmudic community. Benahar Da'ah, there was a big yeshiva in Nahar Da'ah. Avdi Kerabo Bar Rav Huna. They followed his approach was of defining Keres HaPnimi as Mafrato. Let us not lose sight of the forest for the trees. We're discussing an issue of a hole in Keres HaPnimi will render it a trefa. So what he's saying is that a hole in that part of the stomach that becomes exposed as the belly is opened, that is subject to trefus through a hole. Omar le Rav Ashi lamemar, kol hanishmaitzo mai. What about all the other opinions that we saw above? We counted seven different opinions. You're choosing to paskin, or we should say that in Nahar Da'ah they choose to paskin mafrata. But what about all the other opinions? Do you take them into consideration? Omar Le, Amemar answers, Kulhu, it should be pointed out, by the way, that Amemar was associated with Nahar Da'ah. So that after saying that Nahar Da'ah follows Rabbah, it's quite appropriate that Rav Ashi turns to Amemar, who was from Nahar Da'ah, and asks, well, what do you people do with regard to all of the other opinions? So Amemar, who was from Nahar Da'ah, says, Kulu Shaychon Bidorabo Barav Huna. The word Kulu means all of them, but by learning Rashi, you will see that it doesn't mean literally all of them, but many of the above shitas are actually included in Rabo Barav Huna. Rabo Barav Huna was actually giving a very large region in defining what Keres HaPnimi is. Through his large or inclusive definition, many of the other opinions were actually included in this area. So Rashi points out, when he says all of the others are included, so Rashi lists them off, the Sanya Divi. Sanya Divi was number one. The Istumka Pshat, which we saw, was number two. Mokom She'en Bo Milas, that we saw as number four. What we numbered is number four. That Rashi says, Kulon Do'isit Sad Omdim, all of them are on the same side. O Lamalo Lamata, either above or below. So v'chitarfis lo l'chol oisit sad b'nekev b'mashu, if you declare that a minor sized hole in any of that area will result in trefus, hanimtzaboy, let's read that again. V'chitarfis lo l'chol oisit sad b'nekev b'mashu hanimtzaboy mekaimis luhu l'kulu. By accepting the mafrata definition of keres hapnimi as being subject to a trefus of nekev kolshu, you are including those other opinions. the Sanya Divi, the Stumka, and Mokam Shenbo Milas. Continuing in the Gemara, Udorav Asi Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mai, what about him? So the this name, in order to find it easily, we've provided the arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. He appeared above in saying Mokum Sar Yesh Bekeres, and he says, I don't know where it is. So what about him? And the question here is, so since he said, I don't know where it is, well then, maybe we should be strict in assuming that that the whole will render it a trefa even in some area other than the mafrata, because he didn't define where it is. So Omar Lay, so Amemar answers, he says, listen, you don't have to worry about that his definition of Keres HaPnimi will include some other area, because Kfar Pirsha Rav Acha Bar Ava, Rav Acha Bar Ava already explained what that was referring to, and he said it was Min HaMeitzar Ulamata. And Min HaMeitzar Ulamata just so happens to be included in the area of Mafrata, so that by our defining Keres HaPnimi as Mafrata, we are including Rav Asi Omer Rabbi Yochanan as well, thanks to the fact that Rav Acha Bar Ava explained what he meant. And that we saw in the number 3 pshat above. Uda Rabbi Avina, Uda B'nei Marova Mai. What about pshatim number 5 and 6? Rabbi Avina, in pshat number 5, spoke about tefach beveshet somuch lekeres, and in ma'arova they mentioned kol akeres kula, which is more than mafrata. Well, what do you Nahardoin say about that? Amale, so Ameimar answers, hani vadai pligi. These two opinions, 5 and 6, definitely are at odds with our mafrata approach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bigadola Tefach, Vaktana Baruba. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah spoke about a rip in the keres, and if it's a gedola, so it will a rip that will cause treifus would be a rip of a tefach, a handbreadth, and in a ktana, it will be a rip in the majority. Omar Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes, Omar Rabbi Lozer, Lo Gedola Gedola Mamish. When the term Gedola is used, it doesn't mean literally the largest of the large animals, and Velo Ktano Ktano Mamish, and it doesn't mean the smallest of the small, Ela, but rather the definitions are as follows. Kol shenikra bo tefach velo have ruba. Any situation that you would have a rip that is a handbreadth in length, and that is not the majority. In other words, you're dealing with something whose keres is more than two handbreadths, or it's, let's say, a minimum of two handbreadths, so that one handbreadth would not be the rove. Zu hi shishaninu begdoila tefach. That is a case where the tefach size rip would create treifus, and that's what's called gedola. In other words, it's large to the extent that a full handbreadth would not be the majority. However, ruba v'lo havi tefach, if you have a rip that's actually the majority, and it doesn't come out to a tefach. In other words, you could have something that's, let us say, something under two tvachim in of keres, and you have a rip that's less than a tefach, but that less than a tefach is actually the majority. Zuhi shoshaninu b'ktano beruba. This would be what was meant by a ktana, a small size creature or keres, and a rip of a rove would render it trefa. So the Gemara asks on this, rubav lo havi tefach pshita. That's obvious that if you have the majority is ripped, even if it's not a tefach, it's obvious that it is a trefus. And the reason for that is that there's a standard approach that rubo kikulo, that the rove is like the whole thing. So imagine the whole organ is ripped. That certainly would render it a trefa. So what are you communicating to us? What are you telling us by saying that rubo v'lo havi tefach, it creates a trefus? Loi tzricha, it's needed under the following circumstances. Dehavya tefach b'mashehu. In other words, it's true that rove is reached by a rip that's less than a tefach, but if that rip were extended just a little bit more, it would actually be a tefach in size, so that just by a little bit extra, you would achieve a tefach. So ma'u detema, I might have thought, ad demikra be'a tefach, until it's a full tefach in rip, in size, the rip is a full tefach, that until that point, lo havi trefa, I would have thought that it's not a trefa. Komash malon, what we are teaching here is that even if it's not a full tefach, since it's a rove, that is enough to make it into a trefa. Omar Gnivo, Omar Revi Asi. Nikdaro Kesela Trefa. If a hole formed in the keres hachitsoina, which we described above as the meat or the flesh that covers the keres hapnimi, if a hole was made or was formed in that is kesela. Kesela is a coin with its known specifications. That creates a trefa. Why? She'im timtach, the sela being a coin round in shape, if you were to draw on either end of this round shape and create tension, you would end up making a slit the size of a tefach. Shim temtach. Timtach is to draw on it, to pull on it. Ta'amod al hatefach. It will be a tefach in length. And we saw above that a rip of a tefach could create or creates trefus. Omar Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba, the Didim Shlemine de Geneva, Amabro de Nahardo, Rabbi Chiyo says it was explained to me by Geneva. Mabro is a crossing, a bridge, sometimes translated as a ferry across the river. But Amabro de Nahardo, we were standing there, and he explained to me, Kesela Kshera, Yeser mi Kesela Trefa. If it's a rip that is a sela in size, the hole is a sela in size, that's actually kosher. If it's more than a sela, sela once again is the coin, if it's more than a hole of a sela in size, that is a trefa. V'kamo yeser mikasela, can you tell us, describe to us what is meant by more than a sela? Omar Rebbe, Omar of Yosef, kegoin, a hole that's like the following that would have a hole like having the following diameter. The Ailon Tlas Kashyaiso Betsifa Beduchaka. Kashyaiso are date pits. Date pits, depending on the type of date, some of them have meat that clings to them. If you remove a date pit, there'll be date fruit that's still clinging to it. That's Kashyaisa b'tzifa. Tzifa is the food, that the food meaning the date material sticking to it. So if you have three date pits with the meat on them, positioned one right next to the other, and they would be able to squeeze through a hole, that hole has a size, that hole constitutes a size that's called Yoser Mikasela. And the same hole could be described as follows: below Tzifa, the date pits that have no meat on them would be able to go through the said hole, Berevocha, smoothly, easily. That would also be the same size that we're referring to now as Yoser Mikasela. So a hole that has a diameter of three date pits poses a problem of treifus if you have such a hole in the keres hachitzona. Hemsis ubeis hakosos. Our Mishnah made reference to these organs. They're part of the series of stomachs of a cow, and a hole in them could pose a problem of treifus. Tanu Rabbanan, machat shenimtzeis beove beis hakosos. If you have a cow and you find that there is a needle stuck in the thickness of the wall of the beis hakosos, mitzad echod, if it doesn't penetrate, it's just wedged into one of the two linings or walls that form the wall of the beis hakosos. We can say that the beis hakosos has a double wall to it. So if it's mitzad echod kshera, mishnei tzadim trefa. If the needle penetrates the beis hakosos, then it creates a trefus. Nimtza olel kurt dam, if a drop of blood is found on the needle, then the adua, then you know shelifnei shchita, that the hole developed before shchita, and therefore it's a trefa. Lo nimtza olel kurt dam, if you have this needle that penetrates the beis hakosos, but there's no blood on it, biyodua shela achar shchita, you can then know that the needle penetrated after shchita, and it will thereby be classified as kosher. Higlid pi hamaka, higlid is the forming of a scab or the coagulation of the blood. So if higlid pi hamaka, if the injury or the hole has a scab on it, biyodua sheshloisha yomim kodem shchita, you can know that this hole was formed 3 days before the shchita. And therefore, if someone, let us say, bought an animal from you 2 days before the shchita, you could conceivably come with a claim, hey, you know, you sold me a trefa. Lo higlid pi hamako, if you have a hole with a needle in it, but there's no, but the scab hasn't formed, then we know that it's a fresh hole. But was it yesterday? Was it 2 days ago? That is not clear. Hamotzi mechavero olav haraya, whoever is trying to claim payment or compensation, he'll have to bring proof that the hole was formed before he made the deal, thereby being able to lay claim to the fact that he bought something that he didn't want to buy. He didn't want to buy a trefa, for example. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.